You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. I wanted my cake and eat it too. I wanted it both ways. Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be.
Good morning to you. It's Thursday already. Yeah. Short weeks, we like them. What would be wrong with the 3-day work week? You got a day to go back. Then you get to see everybody, you do some work, you go home. The next day is hump day. You come into work, you're happy. Boom, we're more than halfway. And then the next day is Friday. Yeah. 12-hour workday gets you to 36 hours. 13-hour workday gets you to 39. So 13 hours and 20-minute workday. Go to work at 8 in the morning and get done at 5, 6, 7, 9, something at 9. I don't know if that worked. Might be too long. I like the idea, though. I like 3... 10-hour workdays. No, 3 8-hour workdays. Who needs to work 10 hours? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe sometime in history we needed to do that. I don't know that we need to do that today. Sounds to me a little bit unnecessary. So I'm not sure where that came from. Good morning to you. Marine Corps doing away with assaultmen, so the gunner's going to join us today. Yeah, we haven't heard from Mike in almost 2 weeks, so we'll find out what his prissy ass is up to. And he's sick, a little bit under the weather, the gunner is. So, he went off the net. So, as one of the leaders of a merry band of misfits, when somebody goes off the net for a while, it always gets old Mac's attention. That's right. And so I called him yesterday and said, hey, what's your deal? What? What? What's wrong with you? Why do I not hear from you? Why do I not see you commenting on other people's text messages and being mean and rude? So he said, I'm sick, man. I got sick after Christmas. I said, okay, pumpkin. He goes, are we doing the show on Monday? No, we're doing the show tomorrow. You up for it? He goes, yeah, I'm good. I'm like, all right. So we'll talk about the whole assault man thing with Mike. What's cool about having the gunner on is that, most of the policy changes that you see now, were either auditioned, discussed, or been in the works. And Mike's been a part of those discussions as a gunner. So kind of cool. For instance, when we talk about ammunition, he's like, oh man, that's been going on for years. Blah. And then he gives you the lowdown on it. So we love that. We'll talk to Mike, and then Grant Newsham is going to join us in about 51 minutes. Breaking news this morning out of the Korean Peninsula. Evidently, Korean President Moon and President Trump had a phone conversation this morning already, and the President has agreed, President of the United States has agreed to delay military operations / exercises being conducted on the peninsula until after the end of the Olympics. Now, it seems to be another olive branch extended for what purpose? Good question. And but they did turn on a phone line. So we'll talk to Grant about those events. We'll also talk about the Prime Minister of Japan saying that North Korea is the gravest threat to Japan's security since World War II, in which Japan was actually a threat to other people's security. So the that's an interesting choice of language, but be it as it may, I think his point is that this is the gravest situation that the Japanese people have faced since World War II. So we'll take it as that. So we'll talk about those things this morning. Interested to catch up with Grant, who we haven't spoken to in a few weeks. So we'll talk to him, and then Gunnar is always musing. We'll check the news. Chief of the news that interests me is, that's significant because I moderate the program. Yeah. So yeah, that's why that's significant. Now, is Iran. And so we'll talk about Iran here in a few minutes, after we get the show going, but, they are the chief disturber of life in the Middle East. And so to the extent that the Iranian people are unhappy and the Iranian regime needs to refocus, reallocate money, diminishes their ability to do nefarious things out in the general population, which is a good thing. So, I want to go ahead and take a look at the protests. First of all, what are the protests about? And what's likely to happen? Protests much different in terms of geography, than in the Middle East, in Iran. So we'll talk about that. So events in Iran are pretty interesting, and pretty significant, I think, for the entire region. So I think Iran is a fractured state, and fractured, I mean, the leadership of the nation is, I would say, essentially at odds with the people that they lead. Yep, that's, and so I find that kind of an interesting little dichotomy, and it's been that way for years. The Revolutionary Council, fundamentally Islamic, while the population is not. Population pro-Western, and Iran, a pretty developed nation. So anyway, I find it extremely interesting what's going on, and it has huge implications for, I mean, can you imagine if a moderate government who wasn't interested in exporting fundamental Islam around the world came into power in Iran? Yeah, hello, that might change things. You know, it was almost the kind of, you know, change when, you know, Boris Yeltsin came to power in Russia after Mikhail, what's his name, the guy with the spot, I want to say Baryshnikov, but that's the dancer. I can't remember his name. How's that? Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Anyway, but to think of the Soviet Union as not a menace, that was weird. I mean, because they, you know, in our lifetime since the 40s, when they started building walls in Eastern Europe and decided they weren't going back to Russia, they have been the Red Menace. So to think of Russia as a nation with open borders that might be interested in some form of, I don't know, some version of a representative government, I won't even say democracy, but some version of that was, you know, was you'd strike you dumb. And I feel the same way relative to Iran. Iran has been, you know, since the Iranian hostage thing, after, you know, the Shah was deposed and then those hostages taken in the late 70s. And then their involvement in the Beirut bombing has been a chief antagonizer and certainly a foe to the United States. And if I'll tell you what, and you don't have to go very far to hear that. If you listen to the current Secretary of Defense talk about Iran, he lays it out very bluntly in terms of what they do and what they mean to the region. And to think that they, in some way, shape, or form, would be moderated, it reduces. It's like taking the heat underneath a boiling pan of water, pot of water, not a pan but a pot. There's a difference. And then just all of a sudden you're gonna take it down to simmer. From, like, on a scale of 1 to 6, on a scale of, like, 5, 6, boiling, right? Yeah, you're going to dial it down to 2, 1. Ooh. Yeah, there's a difference. Well, that is Iran in the Middle East. So it's very, very interesting stuff going on in Iran. The other, domestically, Steve Bannon exploded into the news yesterday. And, you know what? And honestly, I don't know what to make of any of that. You have our national media theater. So you have a guy like Bannon, who was shortly after John Kelly's arrival, was labeled to be launched off of one of the catapults of the White House. Get rid of that guy. So I don't know anything other than if Kelly arrived and Bannon left, there was a reason. And Kelly is a pretty straight shooter, and he's a squared away guy. And so I think if Bannon were not a straight shooter and not a squared away guy, he would not have had issues with Kelly. But Bannon was marginalized and then told to leave. So I don't know. So what do you make? Is there any truth in any of these things that he says? You know, treason and all the rest of that stuff. So. Then you have the president unloading on Bannon, you know, talking about him, he's lost his mind, blah, 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 blah. So, and then you have the media, so that's just the event itself. So then you have the media, right? And it's very important who wins these battles relative to the media. Because CNN is staking their professional reputation, right? On the fact that there is enough elements of truth in these things that come out about the president that they will bank their integrity on it, their reputation on it. Fox, on the other hand, its conservative line says that much of this is all about nothing. And so we will, at some point, we will see the truth will emerge. And so... It's incredibly important to both organizations that their own perspective is right, because they're both in pursuit of the truth, and they both report, and I use report in quotations, things that are diametrically opposed to each other. Diametrically opposed to each other. And then you have the quote-unquote news people, not the commentary, but the news people on I would say more so on CNN, who editorialize about the news. So that's interesting in and of itself. So then you have that whole tug of war going on. And you just, some days you just say, yeah, I'll let the dust settle around that, and then it will be what it will be. So with all that going on this morning, again, breaking news from the Korean Peninsula, President Moon has asked President Trump to reschedule military exercises that were supposed to take place during the Olympics. And so the president is entertaining that. No official statement made by either country, but again, another olive branch, maybe attempted door opening with North Korea, which in my opinion, I don't believe something incredible is going to happen with North Korea, but it is one of the things you have to do on your way to blockading the country, which I think ultimately needs to happen. So, but you can't go to blockading it without doing all these other little dances, so we dance. Anyway, good morning to you on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. As I said, Grant Newsham going to join us. We'll talk about Korea and get Grant's thoughts on things that have transpired there along with breaking news this morning. And then the Marine Corps announces that that assault men will be will go away, and in their place will be cyber warriors. Again, I'm not really sure what a cyber warrior does in theater. Like I get like the national effort, but I don't get what they do in theater. In theater, our systems are closed. I don't. So do they monitor our system to make sure nobody can hack into our system? Is that what they're doing? And then they attempt to find other networks and hack into them. What do they do in theater? So I don't understand the whole cyber thing yet. I know what it is, but like, what do these Marines do while they're on, you know, while they're on active duty? What do cyber Marines do? Because it implies that they're in theater supporting in theater operations. So do they do analysis? So, anyway. All right. With all that said, we officially begin the program. United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning to you. Into the new year, 2018, a little motivation.
Our flag comes through every my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Montana man just called and hung up. That's what the ringing you hear. He's like crank calling the program. He calls, I put him on. He hears the music or whatever was playing. He hangs up. What about that? Currently, East Coast is in a big panic. It's going to snow there. Blizzard bomb. Yeah, I'm not even sure what that is. Let me tell you what a blizzard. A blizzard is snow with wind. That's a blizzard. Okay? So, advice to everybody on the East Coast. All right? The key to driving is slow down. Okay? If you slow down, even in a two-wheel drive vehicle, you'll be okay. If you don't slow down, even in a four-wheel drive vehicle, you'll have all four tires spinning. Yeah. Because speed and ice don't mix. So there you have it. You can navigate in a two-wheel drive vehicle. A little bit more challenging. And let me tell you what's challenging. Yeah, let me give you some... For those of you on the East Coast. Here's what's challenging. What's challenging is when they plow streets, right? They're going north, south, and then east, west in most cities, right? And what happens is, at the intersection, the place where you turn, there's a pile of snow there. So, it forces a two-wheel drive vehicle to slow down before, and then you got to be kind of accelerating slowly around the turn, or else you're going to get stuck in that snowdrift. So, yeah, that's the way that works. So anyway, if two-wheel drive driving in a lot of snow is a pretty big challenge, especially at those corners. So, but the most important thing is to simply slow down. If you slow down, this comes from living in North Dakota for many, 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 many years, where we have blizzards all the time. You don't even read about the blizzards up there. And people know what to do. Okay? If you drive slow, you'll be okay. All right? No reason to panic. All right. So, Quantico, snow and 26 degrees. Camp Lejeune, sun and 29. Granbury, Texas, home of the big man himself, the big G, the big gunner. Going to be on the third hour today. Mr. Sicky Boy, 28 degrees under cloudy skies. Big Timber, Montana, didn't take well, evidently, to be in a warmer place than it is in Texas, so they dropped the temperature there. Sunny and 19. 29 Palms, sunny and 47. Pendleton, sunny 44. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, 69 degrees, warming up in Okinawa. Mars are cooling off. Clear, dark, big kind of event in Mars here recently. We're going to talk about later. Or in Hellman. As remember I said that, you know, the effort that was going on in Iraq, Syria, with very little fanfare, was much of it was supporting anyway, was moved to Afghanistan, and those sorties didn't go away. They just went someplace else. The Taliban are feeling it, right? And now this is the non-fighting season. So, yeah, it's too cold. So they go home. They get ready for spring training and then the warm weather. So now we'll talk about that here. But yeah, warming up. Actually, steady state, Marcia. They were 55 yesterday, so 50 today. The home of All Marine Radio. It is partly cloudy, 52 degrees. Looking for a high of 72 today, 71 tomorrow, and 70 on Saturday. But the problem is it's cloudy. It's not, you know, it's not clear skies, which means it feels different. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We will, we'll check news headlines. We'll check the top five of the early bird. We'll talk about Iran. Grant Newsham joins us at the top of the hour. Mike Musselman joins us at the top of the following hour. Should be a fun show today. Thanks for, listening and making this part of your morning. Don't touch that dial.
All you veterans, listen up.
Yeah.
This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts at 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled machine anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Interesting little article that appeared in the Wall Street Journal yesterday about about Iran. So we'll get to that in a minute, though. Marine Corps Times headlines, because we like to check those. Talked about it yesterday afternoon at some point, or yesterday morning at some point. No more infantry assault, Marines Commandant says. They will use those line numbers to allow more Marines to focus on cyber and other jobs in demand. Also, evidently the Secretary of Defense has communicated to the Commandant. The Marine Corps is not getting bigger. You need to get healthy. So the money that would have been spent to grow it will be spent on readiness and modernization, which we all know, if you pay attention, has been grossly neglected over the last decade. So there's an interesting article about Commandos Raid Red Unit in ongoing campaign against Taliban financial network. Now, for those of you who don't know, the reason the Marine Corps wound up in the Helmand province of Afghanistan, starting, I want to say, what, in about 2009 was its first forays down there, was because of the financial piece that Helmand was and to the Taliban, and that was, it was the great it was the financial basket for the Taliban. right? It was the growth, it was the harvest, the transportation, the refinement, and sale, all of it taxed by the Taliban that gave them the financial resources to conduct some of the operations that they conducted. Obviously, that wasn't their sole source of revenue, but it was certainly a huge chunk of revenue for them. So down the Marine Corps goes to Helmand to contest that. So anyway, Marine Corps back in Helmand right now. So Afghan commandos executed a nighttime raid against the Taliban's Red Unit in Helmand province on Monday, seizing more than a ton of hash, valued at $3.4 million in drug trafficking revenue, and freeing five captives held for their families' connections to Afghan government forces. Kidnapping in both Afghanistan and Iraq is like a legitimate family business. What do you do? Well, we kidnap people. Oh, really? Yeah, we're kidnappers. And they just hold them until their family decides to pay for them. And they do that. The raid against the elite Taliban fighters, who have been seen outfitted with American and Russian-made technical equipment in propaganda videos, is another in a series of operations meant to disrupt the insurgency's increasing narcotics-based method of financing. Quote, we believe the Taliban in some ways have evolved into a criminal or narco-insurgency. I think they've been that for a while. General John Nicholson, top U.S. commander in Afghanistan, said during a November press briefing, quote, they are fighting to defend their revenue streams. They have increasingly lost whatever ideological anchor they once had. In December, Afghan National Security Forces seized 34 tons of raw hashish and 300 kilograms of processed hashish in Logar province. That seizure estimated at $5.6 million. That's a lot, man. 34 tons. Right? Okay, you got to multiply times two. 68,000 pounds. That's a lot of work, man. The same month, a village elder from Patika province was rescued after he refused to pay an illegal $1 million tax imposed by insurgents to fund narcotics, IEDs, and other activities, according to NATO Special Operations Component Command. It's by Ryan Kempfer in Marine Corps Times. The seizures are in line with the Trump administration's approach to Afghanistan, as late 2017 was flush with high-profile airstrikes on Taliban narcotics laboratories. Since the beginning of the campaign, we have eliminated 25 narcotics processing labs from the Taliban inventory, according to Brigadier General Lance Bush, future ops director for Operation Resolute Support. Quote, this equates to almost $80 million of drug money eliminated from the kingpin's pocket, while denying over $16 million of direct revenue to their Taliban partners. He goes on, keep in mind that this is the first time we have persistently used our air power in this interdiction role, he added. This will be a very long winter for the Taliban, as we will continue to disrupt their revenue resources again and again and again. So, again, what you're talking about is now with the kinetics in Syria and Iraq gone, the sorties in that region moving to Afghanistan, where you really never had that luxury of having that kind of air support. A report by the Congressional Research Service found that the total area used for poppy cultivation in Afghanistan in 2017 increased by 63% from 2016. Okay, that increase, and it's 46% higher than the previous record, which was set in 2014. Now, you can take the amount of poppy being grown as a direct correlation to the amount of area controlled by the Taliban. Opium production increased also by 87%. Narcotics trafficking generates an estimated $70 million of the $100 million per year for insurgent forces, accounting for perhaps 25% of the insurgents' budget, according to that congressional report. So, interesting. And then he goes on and says, quotes a Brookings Institute report in 2016. For two decades, opium has been Afghanistan's leading cash-generating economic activity. Valued at the border, profits from opiates represent 10 to 15% of gross domestic product. Think about that, 10 to 15%. That's why when we've had people on the show. In fact, John Allen talked about it. You know, crops like pomegranate and stuff like that. But, you know, this crop, as in fact, Gunner was talking about it a couple weeks ago. It grows like a weed. You don't need to cultivate it a whole lot. It needs some water, not a lot, and it grows. And it produces a ton of money. So how do you control this if you don't control the region? And that's the issue. The other issue is, how do you convince a farmer to grow something else? Right? You have to essentially coerce him in a landless province. Anyway. Again, whenever you hear this discussion, you get into you'll hear the term crop substitution. Right? And any effort that I ever heard of, the effort was not well executed, and financially it didn't work, which sent them back to the opium poppy. So anyway, and that'll continue to happen till Afghanistan has a legitimate government that has legitimate, and again, they've never been that. That's the folly in the course of action to broaden the ground war in Afghanistan. You are trying to create something that hasn't been created. So what the United States has to commit to, and somebody should say to the American people, is we're going to be here for a while, everybody. But nobody will do that. We were in Korea, Germany, Japan. We believe that Afghanistan is important enough that we're going to be here in some capacity for a while. In this generational fight, Afghan is a key player. And we have to get it right here. Now, I will say this, though. What the United States has to get right is the support. You know, we can use our supporting arms. Nobody's close to us relative to that stuff. The thing you have to guard, our center of gravity, is the video that comes into American TVs. It's no different than it was in Vietnam. When Americans see Americans bleeding and dying, and they look around and say, why are we there? So if you're interested in doing that, you got to find a way in which a lot of Americans do not get killed, because that will get Americans out of those places quicker than anything. The video and the Iraq and Americans are great on supporting these endeavors when they're articulated well. What they're not great at is watching video that makes them uncomfortable. People dying, they don't like it. Shocker, right? You know, there's much made of, like, the first public pictures of Tarawa that were published. And people saw those things and went, what are those butchers doing? And so, anyway. But interesting article. Because, again, it brings up a broader effort against not simply just the growing of opium, but also its refinement and using kinetics now to destroy every one of those things that you can buy. So, interesting. In Marine Corps times. We'll go through the early bird, and then I want to talk about Iran here before Grant Newsham comes on. So, as I said, interesting article in the Wall Street Journal this morning that I would tell you to read, and it is Make Iran Great Again. And so let me tease that real quick before I do the early bird. It's written by a guy named Dan Henninger, all right? Dan has a little pencil sketch next to his name. But anyway, Iran erupted last Thursday. By Friday, the protest against the government, which began in Mashhad near the Afghan border, had spread to dozens of cities. So when we traveled on Saturday to a movie theater, on Manhattan's Lower East Side to see Darkest Hour, Gary Oldman's portrayal of Winston Churchill. Imagine the jarring dislocation when the theater's preview included a trailer for an admiring documentary of Barack Obama's foreign policy making the final year. The screen preview filled with expressions of earnest intent from Mr. Obama, Susan Rice, Samantha Power, Ben Rhodes, and the Iranian nuclear deal's handmaiden, John Kerry. About 100 minutes later, we were watching Churchill shout at his war cabinet, "You cannot do deals with dictators." That would have been about the time this weekend that protesters in Iran were shouting, "Death to Khomeini." It's nice to see the Iranian people have a sense of humor. Producing last week's protest against the Iran regime was not the goal of six-party nuclear deal. Back then, the Khomeini-Rouhani regime was represented as America's partner in a good cause. Now the governments of the U.S., U.K., France, and Germany, Russia is a Khomeini ally and China only supports crackdowns, have to decide whether their Iranian partner is the people in the streets or the government that is shooting them. In the preview of the final year, this is the movie that he refers to, about the Obama administration, the Obama team members convey confidence in the rightness of everything they did. But as we learned in November 2016, there was one big thing the Obama people never understood, how a real economy works. A real economy, I mean the private economy, not the economy of public spending. A central element of the nuclear deal was that it would help the Iranian people by lifting sanctions and injecting $100 billion of unfrozen assets into Iran's economy. This was much the same economic theory behind the Obama administration's 2009 injection of $832 billion into the U.S. economy. Both flopped because both made the real economy essentially a bystander to state guidance. The Obama $832 billion went up the government's fireplace flue. The Iranians' $100 billion went into the ballistic missile production and for Iran's proxies in Syria, Yemen, Lebanon, and the Gaza Strip. The moment has arrived for invidious comparisons. Donald Trump is president because Obama, Clinton, Democrats forgot about hard-pressed voters in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. The Khomeini-Rouhani regime is under assault because the working-class Iranians began this week's revolt in cities beyond the capital. Come to think of it, isn't the disconnect between the people running governments and the people trying to make a living in the real economy the core reason behind the worldwide burst of populism? You know, that may be one of the most clear statements that I've read in a long time. Is the reason France's working-class voters and young, underemployed college graduates, or it's the reason that France's working-class voters, young, underemployed college graduates sent Emmanuel Macron and a heretofore non-existent party into the French presidency? It's the reason working-class Brits lunged from Brexit? This new global reality, perform or get shoved aside, is the reason Saudi Arabia's Prince Mohammed bin Salman imposed reforms. Iranians shouting, "Leave Syria, think of us," are the West Virginia coal miners shouting, "Make America great again." That's not Yahooism. It's an anxiety directed at incumbent elites who tell the public that reduced levels of economic growth are the new normal. The world's population will not accept that. Iran, like North Korea, has taken its best and brightest and stuck them inside a mountain to build atomic bombs, leaving the economy in the hands of Brussels-grade technocrats. Whoa, I told you, it's a good article. It's in the Wall Street Journal. Check it out. You can read, there's a few more paragraphs to it. Well, I've read that much. Let me read the rest of it. To combat a massive cell phone smuggling operation, Iran recently slapped a 5% duty on them atop the 9% value-added tax and required registration with Iran's telecom user database. Now millions of smuggled phones will make it harder for the Ayatollahs to kill texting among protesters. The bazaar may move stronger than the theocracy. A theme now emerging in Western media is that if Europe's leaders support President Trump's aggressive posture towards Tehran, that will undermine both the sanctioned Obama nuclear deal and support for liberals in the Rouhani government. This is where we come in, watching Churchill convince the timid British establishment that an outward-moving dictatorship won't stop at anyone's border. Drawing parallels to appeasement with dictators. The moment has arrived to admit that Iran's missiles, nuclear technology, and armies won't stay inside its borders until the people getting shot in the streets are recognized and supported by a too timid world. Daniel Henninger. These two paragraphs are pretty incredible writing. Come to think of it, isn't that disconnect between the people running governments and the people trying to make a living in the real economy the core reason behind the worldwide burst of populism? One. Yeah. The people that go to Harvard and Yale and those shitheads who start wars and believe in this global nirvana, that you don't need to protect your industry, that you can just give it away and then somehow or other something else will magically be created, are they the people that pay the price for that? Never. Never. Right? Condoleezza Rice wants to be the commissioner of the NFL. Wanted to. Right? She was head of the NSA that started a war in Iraq and expanded the ground war in Afghanistan. Are you kidding me? Donald Rumsfeld, is he paying for anything? George Bush, is he? No, they're all elites. They will live a life that the rest of us never even dreamed about living. And meanwhile, everyday working Americans in a shrinking middle class pay for this bullshit. Do I sound like a populist? The second paragraph, which is the last one I just read, I'll read it again for effect. The moment has arrived to admit that Iran's missiles, nuclear technology, and armies won't stay inside its borders until the people getting shot in the street are recognized and supported by a way too timid world. Well, I will say this. The guy in the White House might have a lot of faults, but the one fault he doesn't have is being timid. So we'll see. And he has been very vocal in his support and encouragement of protests in Iran. And their problem, and I said this a while ago about things I'd seen in Iraq, the Arab Spring can no longer be detained because of the way telecommunications are. Those ideas flow, and that ability to communicate is resident in those countries. And so you're one day closer to those monarchies going away. Because at some point, people get organized and they do something about it. So anyway, top five real quick, and then Grant Newsham's going to join us. And I wish I had more time to talk about Iran. One, Boeing seeks embracer control with defense safeguards. Boeing company is seeking control of, Embraer, which is a company, while offering the Brazilian government safeguards concerning the company's defense unit. That's the number one story. Number two story. Lawmakers move to limit Trump authority to launch nuke after nuclear button tweet. Whatever. That's political in nature, yes. Three, VA firing spiked after Trump signed the new accountability law last year. Boom, it's about time. Okay, it's about time. Get the dead weight out of the VA. Get people that want to work. Get people that want to help. I'm looking for from February to the end of July, before the new rules were put into place, 566 VA workers were fired, an average about 94 a month. From August to mid-December, that figure rose to 756. Or about 168 a month. How about that? Not quite doubling but fairly significant. So good for the VA. An organization riddled with dead weight and losers who glom off veterans. Four U.S. military warns against getting hopes up over North Korea overture. So, again. But again, it's the dance we do, right? You know, we have to make these overtures to the North Koreans. At some point, they'll do stupid things. And that's how you'll get to blockading North Korea, which will be an act of war. And then we'll see what really happens. All right. Most agencies vulnerable to phishing cyber attacks. Everybody familiar with phishing? Somebody sends you an email, and you click on the link, it installs stuff in your computer, and then they steal everything. So what they can't have access to because of safeguards, they then get access to. I mean, that's what happened to John Podesta. Clicked on a link. They stole all his stuff. So if you don't recognize the sender, don't click on the email. Delete it. All right, we're going to take a break. Grant Newsham is going to join us next. And I'm not happy because I want to talk a little bit more about Iran. Let me just say this about Iran. Email. Mac, title and writer of the journal article. It's an opinion piece. Title is Make Iran Great Again. Writer, Daniel Henninger. All right, so check it out. It's a good article. And, again, you're going to see the fundamental different, and I would say elitist worldview of Barack Obama and I would say intellectuals in the world that they want to live in. But that's not the world that we live in. So, anywho, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Grant Newsham's going to join us. Don't touch that dial. More of this program next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product
at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. BattleMug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoffoundation.org